Let us turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. We'll read verse 10, 11, and verse 30 and 31. Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 10, 11, 30, and 31. And the title of this sermon is a question: why will you perish? Let us read. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Verse 30. As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouth they act. Their heart is set on their gain. Amen. It is sad that many people are perishing, even if God has provided a way of escape. God has given his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. So those who perish are to blame themselves. It is not others' fault that they perish, but their own fault. The good news of salvation is preached every day and everywhere, but many do not obey it. And because they do not obey the gospel, they perish. The people of Judah were in a similar situation. They perished despite that God had warned them several times. They perished despite that God had provided a way of escape. God had taught them what to do in order to live, but they chose to follow their own ways instead of following God's ways. The people of Judah had to blame themselves when the wrath of God came upon them. They violated God's covenant and they faced God's wrath. But when the wrath of God came upon them, they didn't really take it upon themselves. They didn't say that they truly deserved what they were facing, and that they were sorry for what they had done. They began to somehow blame God instead of grieving for their sin and cry out to God for forgiveness. When we read these verses, it seems like they acknowledged their sin. But when you look at it very deeply, you will find that they acknowledge it but they didn't grieve over it. So acknowledging one's sin without hating it, acknowledging one's sin without being sorry for it and asking for forgiveness cannot bring salvation in one's life. You need to not only acknowledge your sin, but also to hate that sin and forsake it and ask God to forgive you if you are to be saved. So, dear friends, let us not be like the people of Judah. They acknowledged their sin in some way, but they did not grieve for it. And they did not repent. So it was not God's fault that they were perishing, but their own fault. I can say that God cannot be blamed. When we perish, we should not blame God. We perish because it is our own fault. Verse 10 says, "And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live?" In this verse, we see what the people of Judah said when God visited them in judgment. They were saying, "Well, we have sinned, and because of our sin, we are in this miserable situation. But how can we reverse this situation? There is nothing we can do about it. We have already sinned, and God has decided to destroy us. He is determined to destroy us. It is not our fault because we cannot reverse this situation. We cannot do anything about it." How was the situation in those days? Let us remember that Ezekiel was a prophet to the Jews who were in exile. It came to pass that the people of Judah violated God's covenant. They violated the covenant they had with God. They sinned against God. They sinned spiritually. They sinned morally. They embraced other gods. They worshipped foreign gods. They worshipped idols. They associated themselves with pagans. They began to depend upon other nations instead of depending on God. And the worship of God became hypocritical. The powerful in the society began to exploit the weak and the defenseless. The rich oppressed the poor, and many people in Judah became covetous. They wanted to have more, and they did whatever they could in order to get more. Even the leaders, including prophets and priests, had turned away from the covenant truth. And because of that, God abandoned them. God became absent in their midst. That means they were no longer under God's protection. And God allowed other nations to invade them. God allowed Babylon to invade Judah. The first time, some Jews were taken captive to Babylon. The first time Babylon invaded Judah, some Jews were taken captive to Babylon. And I think that's when Daniel and his friends found themselves in Babylon. And the second time, other Jews were taken captive. And I think that's when Ezekiel and others found themselves where they were. And the third time, Jerusalem was terribly destroyed. People died, and others went into exile. Others were taken captives. Those who were taken the third time informed their fellows how Jerusalem had been destroyed. And this was not a good news for them, especially that they hoped to return back soon. There were false prophets who were telling them that everything was well and they were going to go back to their country very, very soon. But when these people came and told them how Jerusalem was destroyed, they were very disappointed. The situation became hopeless. For them, the situation could not be reversed. And they began to say that there is nothing they could do. They said that they had already sinned and God had decided to destroy them. It was as if God was happy to see them perishing, as if it was God's fault that they were perishing. But God responded to them with these words in verse 11. He says this in verse 11. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? In this verse, God is saying that he is not happy to see them in that situation. He does not delight in seeing them perishing. He does not delight in seeing even wicked people perish. The people of Judah should therefore not blame him because they were responsible for their misery. They brought it upon themselves by violating God's covenant. And God continues to tell them that it was not a hopeless situation. There was still hope. They could still come out of that misery. But he could not take them out of that misery without repentance. So repentance was very necessary for them to be saved. And God was going to surely save them if they repented. If they turned from their sin to the living God. God was going to surely save them if they abandoned their ways. God could not save them without repentance, because doing that would be to act against his own nature. God is holy, and he cannot tolerate sin, nor can he have fellowship with sin. This is the unchangeable law of God. It means the wicked, the sinner, must repent or die. The sinner must turn from evil or perish. We need to understand this truth. It is not enough to acknowledge your sins. If you don't turn to God in repentance and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, you will perish. God will never have anything to do with someone who lives in sin. He will never have fellowship with unrepentant sinners. to have access to the presence of God, you need to repent and believe in Jesus. Coming to church is not enough. Hearing God's word is not enough. If hearing God's word and coming to church does not produce repentance and faith in the Lord, then you will perish. The people Ezekiel was prophesying to frequently came to him to inquire about the mind of God. They came to Ezekiel and asked what God has spoken. And we see that in verse 30 and 31. It says, "As for you, son of man, your people who talk together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths, they act. Their heart is set on their gain." These people who were in exile, they usually called one another. And they said, "Come, let us go to the prophet so that he may tell us the word of God. He may tell us what God has for us." And the prophet told them what God wanted them to do. They sat under the preaching of the man of God. They listened carefully. They wanted to know the mind of God. But after hearing, they did nothing. They didn't do what God required of them. They were mere hearers and not doers of the word. That means they did not repent when God asked them to do so. They did not abandon their evil ways and follow God's ways when God asked them to do so. They did not obey God. My dear friend, you may be like these people. You perhaps come to church regularly. Perhaps you even invite others to come and hear the word of God. Perhaps you read the Bible regularly. You want to know what God requires of you. And God has repeatedly asked you to repent and believe in Christ. But you have never done that. When you hear the word, you sometimes acknowledge your need of repentance and faith in Christ. You sometimes say that, "I will repent this time. The word has been powerful this time and I need to repent." But you never did that. And the reason may be that your heart is set on other things. And that's how it was with the people Ezekiel ministered to. In verse 31, God says that they didn't do what God asked them to do because their heart was set on their gain. It is possible that you have not obeyed the gospel because your heart is still on your sins. Because your heart is still on the things of this world. You still love sin and the world. You still have this strong affection for sin. You still have great interest and pleasure in sin. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, what you are enjoying today will become bitter one day. The end of the wicked is damnation. The end of the wicked is condemnation to eternal punishment in hell. I am not saying this to make you afraid. I am not saying this to terrify you. I am saying this because I don't want you to end up in hell. Even God will not be happy to see you ending up in hell. And that is why, and that is what he says in verse 11. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God wants to see you in heaven one day. Dear friend, turn from sin and the world. Those things do not pay at all. They may promise fulfillment and joy, but at the end, they kill. There is still hope for you. It is not yet too late. You can repent from your sins today and put your trust in Christ. Come to God and He will receive you. He has promised to do that. He says in verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God says that if the wicked shall turn from sin to him, he shall live. This is God's promise. He promised to give life to Jews who would repent. And this promise is for you as well. If you repent, you will be given life eternal. You need to trust God. God does not lie. He is going to do exactly what He has promised. Perhaps you think your sin is too strong for you to abandon it. It may be a sin that you have enjoyed for quite a long time. And if you are in that situation where you think this sin is too strong, I don't know how to abandon it. If you are in that situation, there is good news. Jesus' blood is more powerful than your sin. Jesus' blood can destroy the power of sin. Christ overcame the power of sin and death. And when you believe in Him, when you believe in His person and His work, He will give you power to overcome your sin. What you need to do is to go to Him in prayer and tell Him everything about your sins. Don't just tell Him about sin in general. Tell Him specific sins in your life, especially sins that easily beset you. Tell Him about them one by one and ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to give you power to overcome them. And don't just pray once. Continue to pray until He gives you that power to overcome your sin. Don't be comforted before He comforts you. Plead with Him until He gives you a new heart. Plead with Him until He gives you a heart that loves Him more than anything else. Plead with Him until He gives you a heart that hates sin. And when you do that, God will be pleased with you. When you ask Him this, God will give you it, and He will be pleased with you. He will be pleased with you because He takes pleasure in men's conversions. God is happy to see people coming to Him. And that is what He says in verse 11. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. He is pleased to see people coming to Him. What God is saying in this verse is that He is pleased when sinners turn from their sins and receive eternal life. It means God will rejoice when you forsake your sins and embrace Him. We are often happy when we make others happy, aren't we? We feel so happy when others are happy because of us. But when you turn from sin, you make God happy. The Most Holy One rejoices when you come to Him in faith and repentance. Imagine, God is happy because you believe and repent. It is something that should move your heart. You need to do it now. This will make you happy as well. When you know that your Creator is happy about you, you will be definitely happy. It will produce happiness in your heart. God is delighted in seeing people being saved. And that is why He emphasizes repentance. He pleaded with the people of Judah who were in exile. He repeated the words, turn back. When we read verse 11, He says, turn back twice. Turn back from your evil ways. He emphasized repentance because it is what was needed for their salvation. If you don't turn to God, it is not God's fault, but your own fault. In verse 11, God asks the people of Judah, why will you die, O house of Israel? Here, God was asking why they wanted to perish. And He asked that question because He didn't want them to perish. And He had provided a way of escape. So their perdition would be their own fault. They would perish because they just didn't want to do what God required of them. Why will you die, O house of Israel? The question is for you today. Why do you want to perish? God has provided a way of salvation. He sent His Son so that He could die for the sins of all who would believe in Him. The way of salvation is set before you, and it is free of charge. You don't have to pay for it. But why haven't you believed? Why haven't you repented? Why do you want to perish? My dear friend, this question is for you. Why do you want to perish? I can only ask you to not delay. Believe and repent and you shall be saved. Your soul is precious. Your soul is very, very precious. Come to Christ and be saved. Why will you die when God has provided a way of escape? Why will you die when God has provided a way to life? Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this word. And we pray that this word will help us, Lord, to repent from our sins and trust Christ and submit to his Lordship. We pray, O dear Lord, that we will come to you to ask for the power to overcome even the sins we have enjoyed most in our lives, even the sins that seem to be too strong for us to abandon them. Help us, Lord, to repent and come to you. Our dear Father, we pray that people will realize that you have provided the way of salvation, and they should not perish because of their love for sin. We pray that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of people so that they may really appreciate this truth and come to you. Dear Father, we thank you for this service, and we pray that you will be with us as we remain together in fellowship. We pray that you bless our Sunday school and our prayer meeting. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.